Pray with me. Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning, and may the words, Lord, that flow from all of our hearts truly be pleasing in your sight. For God, you are both our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our journey through that first generation church continues today as recorded by Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts. And while our reading for today begins at verse 23 in chapter 5, it actually is part of a larger passage that begins at verse 12, where we learn that the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, and that's a portion of the temple in Jerusalem. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow would touch them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns all around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all were healed. Right, amazing things were happening in and around Jerusalem since that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the world, and Jesus' apostles were sharing the good news of Jesus by teaching, by healing, and by living in community with the people of that city. And while it seems like everything was good, right, these are all good things. Right? People are being healed of physical illnesses. People are being healed of demonic presences within their lives. Men and women are coming to faith in Jesus. There were groups of people within the temple, right, the leadership of the temple, from a group called the Sadducees. And these men were actually filled with anger and jealousy about what they saw happening all around them. These men were the guardians of the temple, and so of Judaism's religious as well as civil religion. There were other influential groups among the Jews. I'm sure you've heard of the Pharisees, but they did not hold the power or the authority over the people or the temple that the Sadducees did. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that these men were the protectors, the guardians of the temple. And because they were the guardians of the temple, they had tremendous influence over the religious as well as the civil religion of the people. And there's a difference, right, between the religious and the civil religion of the people. The religious folks were faithful. They loved God sincerely. They wanted to follow what was expected of them and the law of God by coming to the temple, by observing the pilgrimages, by celebrating the feast days. They loved God with a clean and with a pure heart. But there were many people living in ancient Israel who claimed to be Jews, but not necessarily through their religious practice. They followed the rules of the faith because they felt compelled to follow them by the religious leaders and by their families and by their neighbors and by their co-workers. Their hearts were not sincere in worship. They did not love God deeply, and they understood religion to really be simply how the civil government maintained control over the people. Basically, the Sadducees ran the show with the blessings of the Roman government, and as long as the peace was kept, Rome would stay out of the lives of the people. But if the Sadducees could not maintain the peace of the nation, the Romans were more than willing to step in, typically by the sword and by the spear. We read in verses 17 to 22 that the apostles, right, we don't know how many of them, we don't know which ones of them, simply the apostles had been teaching about Jesus, and that they had been healing, and that the authorities from the temple had gone and arrested them and put them in jail. Now, this has already happened to Peter and John twice in the opening chapters of Acts, but now large numbers of the apostles, if not all of them, have been placed into jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord appeared, opened the gates to the jail, and told these men to go out in the temple courts and to preach the good news about Jesus. And that's where we're at this morning as we come to the scriptures. The Sadducees, or actually the entire Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, has gathered together in the morning. They are ready to bring the apostles before them, and they send the guards to the jail to bring them to them. And this is what they reported.
Hear God's word from Acts 5. We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to.
Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." And at that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them.
The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and the forgiveness of their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so it is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him."
When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God."
His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The apostles, right, those people who had known Jesus when he was alive, who had lived with him, who had traveled with him, who had listened to him and been eyewitnesses to his miraculous healings, understood what their role was now that Jesus had ascended into heaven. They knew that Jesus was using them, was counting on them to share the good news that humanity had been reconciled back to God, that forgiveness of their sins had been extended by God himself, that a clear choice was available to the people of the world. They could choose to live in darkness and brokenness and evil, or they could repent of their sins and they could choose to live in the light of God's mercy and grace found only in Jesus. Many contemporary pastors, in fact, I would broaden that actually, I would say, over the course of the last century, a significant number of pastors and preachers have done everything in their power